You're listening to Wheelationships.
Isn't that good either? But then you see also the delayed apologies. Delayed apologies. You have rushed apologies where they're too quick, and then you have delayed apologies that sometimes may be too slow. Now, there are legitimate reasons, and we've already mentioned a couple of them, that there are legitimate reasons to delay an apology. But all the legitimate reasons, you know, I kind of thought about it, and all I can see for legitimate reasons for delaying an apology and not making it soon, the good reasons to delay it are to get a better understanding of what you did. And what really, you know, you tell your kid, go to your room, think about what you did, whatever. Hopefully they will.
They're in there thinking.
Yeah, they're thinking how to get out. But really, a good reason to delay an apology is if you don't really understand, you know, you understand the other person's mad about something and that it really made them angry. And so to rush an apology and say, well, I'm really sorry, and you don't understand what happened. And so sometimes it's good to do some information gathering and figure out how that really did hurt the other person and what the damage was. And so that's a legitimate reason for delaying. Or you might delay it so you can figure out what the best apology to make is, because you know you did it and you know that it's wrong. Is this a case where I need to really fully delve into restitution or repentance or one of the other things? Let me make sure I understand what's the best apology here to make. So you might delay it for that reason. But don't wait for the perfect time to make the perfect apology. The old saying, the perfect is the enemy of the good. And so you can say, well, I'm just waiting for the right time. Well, don't delay it more than you should. Simply ask, will delaying my apology make it more effective? Will delaying my apology make it more effective? If it doesn't, then what are you waiting for? Get it done. The important thing is, if you delay, to let the victim, let the person you've hurt, let them know why you delayed. I haven't fully apologized yet because I was trying to figure out and make sure I understood how I hurt you and what the damage and all of that. But when is delaying not a good thing? Well, when delaying is not a good thing when you're simply trying to control the emotions of the other person. We want to... I mentioned you might have to apologize now and later because they're not ready to hear it. But you're not trying to control their emotions. You're not trying to get them cooled down. I want to let them cool down so that they don't blow up at me when we have this conversation. They might blow up at you. You might deserve it. Okay? And that's what we're afraid of. We delay it because we're hoping that maybe they'll forget about it, or maybe they won't feel as angry as they might right now. So we're trying to control their emotions so that we don't get the full impact of their emotional reaction. That can happen. Yeah.
Doesn't their personality also play into it a little bit?
Sure.
I mean, if you're talking about somebody who you know they just need some space before you approach them.
And again, that's considering what they need. But a bad delay is when we're just considering what we need. We're afraid of the situation. We don't want the emotional backlash from them. In fact, you know, we'll go so far as to try to turn the tables if there's too much emotion involved. You know, if we're feeling too much pain from their response, well, how can you? I'm trying to apologize to you. What are you? You know, and we try to flip the tables to make them feel bad.
Couldn't it be not managing the other person's emotions, but couldn't you be, in a sense, doing that delayed apology to kind of manage your own, make sure that you're gonna
that and that's a
you know, don't want to come across as a quick just because you're angry.
That's a legitimate reason for delaying, again, because you're considering the other person's feelings and you're saying, I don't want to have my emotions all wrong in this and get my emotions so it's all about me and my emotions. The apology is all about the other person. It really is. It's saying, I am trying to restore this. This is I've damaged you. I've hurt you. This is about your pain and what you've experienced, not about me. So, if we try to manage their emotions and try to get them to cool down and to a certain emotional place so that we can deal with it and not experience any pain there, then we're really robbing them again. whatever we did that we need to apologize for, and again, most of this is, we're talking about serious relational things. You know, you bump into somebody in the story, okay, we're not talking about that. Okay, but you say you're sorry and move on. But these serious relational things, you know, where you've hurt somebody through your anger or through your failure, then you've taken from them, and so you're trying to restore that and to take away their opportunity to express how they felt about that, then you're taken from them again. Because in many instances, they need to be able to tell you what kind of pain that caused. They don't need to be shut off by you saying, I know, and that's why I'm apologizing. No, shut up. Listen to their response. They need to tell you, and so you fully understand what happened. Okay? And where should I apologize? Just as there is a general rule about timing, general rule is an apology is most effective the sooner it's accomplished, there's a general rule about location. An apology is most effective when it's accomplished face-to-face. Someone said, well, they've said this about several things, but it's true about apology, too. The most effective part of apology is showing up. So the question is, who are you when you show up? And when you show up, are you prepared to own the responsibility of what you did? Are you prepared to humble yourself and approach the other person as a peer, even if by position or power you are not? You may even be the boss by position. But when you're approaching as an apology, you're approaching as a human being. And in that sense, you're a peer. When I have to apologize to my children, I am still their father. I am still, by position, their superior. But when I do something that causes me to apologize, I'm approaching them as a human being, as a person, peer-to-peer. Not as, I'm your father and you better accept my apology. No. I have to get down to there so they can understand what I'm doing. Are you holding some power in reserve just in case things get a little uncomfortable for you? Who are you when you show up? What part of being right are you still clinging to as you're showing up? Is this the strongest apology you can make? And if it's not, why isn't it? What are you still afraid of? So face-to-face apologies are scary because there's no buffer. It's just you and them. And they're also scary because you're kind of locked into it until it's over. you can't click and go, oh, something must have happened online and now we're disconnected. No, you're just kind of there. So they're scary. If a face-to-face apology is impossible, then probably the next best is telephone, so they can at least hear your voice and the tone of your voice. The thing that makes face-to-face apologies effective is they can see all of you. They can see body language. They can hear the tone of voice. They can ask questions. That's still true of a telephone apology. They can still hear the tone of voice. They can still get feedback and ask questions and get clarification, which is, in most cases, preferable to a letter apology, where you write your apology and you send it to them. And I'm talking here letter apology. So many of you may remember that. There was this thing called the post office, and you would write things, and you'd give them, and they would deliver. The advantage of a letter apology is sometimes when you're face-to-face, you forget things, and you meant to say them, and it would be really nice to have notes, but please don't have notes when you're doing a face-to-face apology. That's bad. But a face-to-face apology with a letter can be even more effective for really serious things or business-type apologies.
Is that the next one, combo apology?
No. And the other thing is, handwritten letters have become so rare that sometimes a letter apology is even more... Ooh, wow, they wrote me a letter. You know, sometimes that can be more effective. Yeah. And the last thing is, and I'll quit with because we're over time, is electronic apologies. We're becoming more used to email and text messages and Facebook chat and all that kind of thing. But unless the offense happened online, that's not good. Okay. Sending somebody email for something that happened in person is not a good response. If it happened in person, then the apology should be in person. Yeah, if you wrote an ugly email, then writing a really nice apology email might be okay. But face to face is usually best. Okay, we'll finish this next week and get through this. But hopefully that's helpful. Have a good week.